We'll continue to study the life and the teaching of Jesus. The affliction of Jesus, the affliction of enter into the Jerusalem and the departing prayer. The John chapter 6:17 is a very unique prayer. It doesn't record it in any other gospel. It's only in the book of John chapter 17. I think here this textbook summarizes as a 3 points: glory and sanctify, united as one. I think one most important thing is before he depart from this world, I think he pray for his disciples in these 3 points. Hope that all the his disciple to for the glory, for their sanctification, and united as one to glorify God. Our life, we always have to remember where we come from and where we're going. If we know that, we can tell all these three is really can apply to our life. Glory, it's God really wants from wants us to our life to be glorified God. So His glory actually turned out to be our glory. And if we work for God and if we're doing for the Lord, then actually all the glory actually coming back to us. Parents do not want any money from our children. But the children grow up, when they get a job, and then they got the first salary, and then at least buy something and bring to the parents, then this is become a true joy of a parent. They can tell, and this is indicate that they are grown up and they can manage their life. So something we can dedicate to God is we can say it's a glory. And also sanctifications, we live in this world. We just separate from this world, then it's easier. We don't have to worry about it. But we live in this world. The enemy is around us, and Satan's around us, temptations around us. So sanctification is one of our major achievements throughout our life to reach to the kingdom of God. God bring the Israelites to the wilderness for the purpose is let them to be separate and also let them to be sanctified so that they can be prepared to get into the promised land. And the Word of God is a most important source to sanctify us. So we pray, at the same time we meditate the Word of God. You know when Daniel, when he meditated under the fig tree, Jesus saw it. Of course, Jesus wasn't there physically, but God saw he meditated the Word of God under the fig tree. So God chose him to be his disciple. We have to be sanctify ourselves with the Word of God. United as one, it's we all brother and sister, we are one. No matter what kind of a personality we have, no matter what kind of a lifestyle we have, we are one. There is a old, there is a young, but we all one. You ever notice that when Jesus choose all the apostles, they are very different personalities. They're very different people. God do not choose the same style of the people, but all different kind of people from different place. So let them to be the disciple. And so let them to be one. We all participate in one bread in the Holy Communion. We have to willing to be ourselves, to be crushed ourselves, to be mixed with others, to be one body. It is very important. If we break up to our body, that means in the division in the church, division in the family, this is the signal that part of the kingdom of God is the one to be collapsed from that moment. So we have to be one, united one. Pray in the Gethsemane. So I'm sure because you all know this one. He prayed really hard for gain the strength, let him go on to his ministry, end up he to glorify God and die on the cross. So arrest and judged. Here on the John chapter 19 verse 11, this is, before we go on, let's look at the John chapter 19. John 19 verse 11, Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greatest sin." When here the Jesus talked to Pilate, and he mentioned in this way, and because Pilate asked, told him that, "You do not know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you." So he talked to the Jesus. At that time, Jesus responded in this way, verse 11. Jesus, we have noticed that at this time, even the most considered as a fearful time and sorrowful time for him, but still he's in his heart is very peaceful, and he kept the tranquility mind. So when he carried the conversation with the pilot, it's very with the confidence he can talk to the pilot. And we know that all the authority is come from above. Beside this topic, but all the authority that we have in this world is came from God, like a president of the nations or any kind of organizations, whether it's evil or good, it all the authority is came from God. So God under the God's control, so we can say under the God's hands, the whole universe will be managed. Six nail on the cross. The seven utterances is very famous, and the seven of them A, B, C, D, E, F, G is here. A is the Father, forgive them. One of the most toughest part is in our life is forgive someone. In Korea, there is one couple. This wife kind of abuses somehow, and then all the children, they all got married, and then when they become 70 years old, she decide to divorce. So give a notice that I want to divorce you. So that's the way to and give a final chapters. I don't want to leave you anymore. You know, so far she built up such all the anger and frustration. All the children get married, give a final notice as a divorce. That's really saddest things. Yeah, we can once we forgive each other, she can do better than that before. Why end up her chapter last part of her life in this way to conclude it? It is really miserable. So Peter mentioned that seven times enough to forgive others? No, Jesus mentioned this. How many times? Yeah, 70 times 7, 7, 7, 490. 490 times, so we have to forgive others 490 times. Then we'll be blessed. Forgiveness 490 times, if you keep checking out, then it takes quite many years. I'm sure 10, 20, 30 years, maybe entire our life. But 490 times means it's not just 490 times, means endlessly forgive others. Have you ever experienced when you forgive someone, at that time how great feel that you something you can overcome something you can feel that you you can feel that you are the one upgraded your life the moment when you forgive someone. It really feels good. Try. Forgive others. Many times our target is our father from the brothers. I do not know, sister. I'm a son, so I have our generation gap between my father and me. So I can't tell yet to forgive family members, and especially parents. You know, that's I have a dealing with the one son. He's very rebellious, and I can tell when he talked, there's anger, frustration toward the father. I just, every time I talk about father, then I talk to him. I can see there is anger in your eyes when you talk. Oh, really? And they awake? Oh, then I go back. And then talk to father again. Then there's someone coming out again and again. So that's frustration. Sometimes we have a generation gap. We have it. And sometimes the parents, they do not know. And we think, parents think that they give everything to their children. But from the children's side, no thanks, simply. Have you ever experienced that? When your parents give something, but then, I don't want it, you know, simply. But no. And it happens. But something their way, I don't like it. And it's expressed then, no, my way, you have to. Oof. That means you're piling up in your here conscience. Pew, one, second, and third, piling up. But once you grew up this much in your time to go to college, you're mature enough now. You cannot blame to your parents. Thanks to your generation gap. Now it's time to release, let it go. Yeah. You can. I think it's now is a time to you are upgrade yourself. You're trying to understand your parents. Just take it and let it go. Yeah. If the same manner to do it, well, I just understand the same way. Just let it go and forgive them. And also husband and wife also same thing. Forgive each other. It's very important. Do not put in a piling up too much, then explode and everybody hurts. So have to go, let it go, each one, bring out, forgive each other. You know the story of Joseph, when he, because his all 10 brother is enemy, consider. They are the ones sold him to the Egypt, but later on, he forgave them. His very person have a full of emotions, and end up he forgave them, and provide a place for them. Actually, God wants him to forgive in this way, fulfill the God's glory and God's will. If he doesn't forgive them, I think it's all the purpose of what Joseph came to Egypt and him to be the prime minister, it all turned to be nothing. Because he forgave them, so everything is possible according to the God's plan and God's way. So forgiveness is really important. And also, forgiveness is not optional. Many times we choose forgiveness as considered options. Somebody encourage you, you have to forgive them, forgive this one and that one. No. My choice. I cannot forgive this one. And some says until whole entire my life, I cannot forgive this one. Other things I can forgive, but this one I cannot forgive. There's no such things. We can forgive everything. Yeah, we can forgive everything. We can pray to God. God will give us the strength. We can forgive, let it go from us. Once you have somebody in your mind, you cannot forgive somebody, then you cannot pray. With somebody that you cannot forgive from your heart, your prayer is wrong from then on. Also, no matter how long you pray, this prayer doesn't count. You pray about 30, 40, 50 minutes, it doesn't count. Oh, that's a lot of loss. You know, prayer 30 minutes, how painful your knees, you know, 40 minutes here. And then for nothing, oh, better not to do that. First, forgive others first. And then come to the Lord and then pray to God. This is a true prayer. You know, Lord's Prayer also, because we have to ask God to forgive us. Because we already forgive others, that's why we can request to God to forgive us. We are sinners in front of God, we know that, right? So Father, forgive them. We can forgive others. Great teachings. And B is that today you will be with me in paradise. I love this story because Luke chapter 23, if you look at this story, the two criminals, one stupid criminal, one wise criminal, so he mentioned that. You look at here, at least you have to take the chance, you know, even though you are a bad one, but since it can be chance to, you can go to the, you know, good place. There's no any other way to, the person can get out of the, you know, the cross. And when you look at here, the Luke chapter 23, verse from 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." If you are Christ, somebody next to you, and say this way, do you have a desire to save that person? If I, Jesus Christ, I curse him right away. And the verse 40, but the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? If somebody talked to me next to me like this, when we are in the same situation, I want to bless this man. This is a true wisdom, what we saying. You know, our mouth is a very precious tool to please God and to please people. We can make a peacemaker with our mouth. So here, at least at this time he repent, have these wisdoms. Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnations? You and I, we are deserved. We just did the wrong things. That's why we are here. But this man is not. How you can say that to this man? That's what he said. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. These 40, verse 41, these statements, this is amazing that how can this man can bring up at that time this wisdom, with this wisdom come out this precious statement. If I am the Jesus at that time, this criminal next to me say to these words, this is a great accomplishment. Wow. What I have done is not in vain. Even somebody like a criminal acknowledge me. How wonderful. Jesus is the man too, just like humans. He can be comforted by the other people's words too. And the way he's saying is truly comfort, encourage Jesus. Verse 42. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Wow, you can see the say what he says. This is with a full of humility. Now he approached to the Jesus. He never requests, but wait to, at least you can give me this little favor to me. Can you remember me when you come in your kingdoms? This man remember, I think part of his messages. He understand that Jesus is belong to the kingdom of God, and he understood he can come back. He understood it. That's why he mentioned this. And this is a great wisdom. So wisdom is come from the fearing God, come from the humility. Wisdom, true wisdom. And then the Jesus right away, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This is a major assurance. If I have this assurance, then I really thank God. You and I, we have this assurance. It is. We have it. Thank God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 28. We can fear God. We don't have to fear people, but we fear God because he's the one able to destroy body and soul. And let us to go to the kingdom of God or let us go to the hell. So we fear God. Fearing God is the beginning of our wisdom. You know that, right? Proverbs says. So I hope that we can, wisdom is come from the fearing of God. And see, it's a look at your son. I think the moments his mother Mary is the most of sorrowful moments. But still, when he was in the cross, he really cared about his mother. So let the beloved disciple to ask him to show her mothers and look at your sons. And honoring our parents is really precious. And at the same time, it's not easy. But once we do it, then this is doing the most important commandment after fourth commandment. All the commandment is important. So we have to keep all the commandments. There's no any exceptions. Especially honoring our parents is very important. D. My God, why have you forsaken me? Many people, that this verse is explained as he depart from the Father, so depart from God at that moment. So his soul become alone to suffer as a punishment. The moment that this is I think a physical suffering is a lot, of course, when he was in the cross. But spiritual suffering is more. That time's a separation from God. Because we believe in God, so we resurrect from the first resurrections from our death. And this is a reconnect with the God. And we have to continue to go until the kingdom of God. We do not be separate again, that we can have experience of like a Jesus here experience. Because of this experience of he himself for us, he was on the cross being judged, punished, received the punishments at this time. And he is I am thirsty. This is a physical, my understanding is this is a physical suffering and agony at times. It is finished. When that was the moment everything is done, and now he knows the moment and that this way to fulfill the salvations. And so that his soul now understood the completion of the salvation. And G is into your hands I commit my spirit. The same way you have noticed that Stephen died the same manners. So into your hands I commit my spirit. I hope that in my life and the last when we be, before the last breath, hope we can make a same prayer like Jesus made it. And there will be a great blessings for you and I in my life. Let's look at the Luke chapter 23:47. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. This is the right judgment. This is the correct judgment. The innocent person, when they can see that he's dead, can find out this one cannot be die, should not to die on the cross. So when I look at the centurion, possibly this, the great possibility this centurion is a Roman citizen. And he led his soldiers bring Jesus up to the Golgotha, and according by the, his order, his soldier nailed him into the cross. But he saw from the beginning to the end. I'm sure because he observed him very carefully, how he did, what he says. He can observe everything. End up, he concluded, and here says, he began praising God. Certainly, this man was innocent. I'm sure this movement and this inspiration is came from God. The God moved him to say it out, to say the right words, and say, certainly, this man was innocent. Resurrection of Jesus, we had this resurrection of Jesus before, but we can skip it, and we go to the V. Heavenly kingdom is near. How near is it? Very near. And here the A is, what is the heavenly kingdom or kingdom of God? This kingdom is not belong to this world. In the John chapter 18, verse 36 says, it's not belong to this world. So anything, that's why the kingdom of God means, is the same concept of Garden of Eden. What is the meaning of Eden? Anybody know? Eden. Any of you study Bible saying that? What Garden of Eden, that Eden's, what is the meaning of Eden? Huh? Go ahead. Huh? Delight. Delight is a come from our joy, expression of joy. So the Garden of Eden is kingdom of God, the concepts, kingdom of God. So these kingdoms, when Adam and Eve, they commit sin, they cannot access this kingdom of God. God expelled them out of there. And then with the fire salt to protect this Garden of Eden. Do not let the Adam and Eve can access into this Garden of Eden. So once we commit sins, we cannot access these kingdoms, because this kingdom, it belong to God, belong to above. This one come down from above, not from in this world. Yeah. So when we really seeking for the joy, when you really seeking for true happiness, when you really seeking for the peaceful mind, we cannot seeking from this world, seeking from God. God is the source of this heavenly kingdom. So that's why the two are from above. Kingdom where Christ is a king. You know, Jesus is the king of his kingdom of God. In our life, who is the Lord is very important. Myself or God himself. We have to invite him as he is the one become our the king of our nation within ourselves. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. We have about 18 minutes. Please continue to fighting with you. Fighting for you. Chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. And here it says, kingdom of God, in order to having a kingdom of God, since we say we have received Christ, then we have to treat our Lord Jesus as our Lord. Our Lord means I'm not the king, but he is the king. King and a president is very different, right? A president is just manage the country, We have a different opinion we can express. He's just an administration department's head. But king is different. King has all the authorities. Your life, my life, our welfare, everything in his hands. So the Lord, we can choose God as our Lord, which means there's no more our own authority, but everything put on the God's authority. That's talking about. So it's not easy. It's not easy, really. It's not easy. That's why we need to pray. We need His guidance. You know what? Our human nature, we have very strong nature. We have very stubborn nature. Even though I sound very gentle, I'm very stubborn too. That is true. And then, so work in Him. Work in Him. It is a blessing. Walk with Jesus Christ. It is a blessing then. When the husband is so joyful, when wife really follow me. Very true. When my wife agree with me, then I feel good. But even though we work together, if she doesn't agree with me, then just a little bit distance can follow. You know the feelings? If you get married, you know. So, you know, we just hear the chapter 2, verse 6 mentioned that you therefore have received Christ Jesus, said the Lord, so walk in Him. I hope it work out to us to really happen to in our life. It becomes really become a blessing. And then a B, where is a heavenly kingdom? Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 verse 20 and 21. Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with a sign to be observed, nor will they say, look here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. So Jesus defined that the kingdom of God is not the physically located here and there. The kingdom of God is in your midst. When you have a problem with your parents, when you have a problem with your spouse, when you come to the church, still the problem. Still the problem. If you don't solve it, still the problems. Church building cannot be your solutions. So building is here, but still your heart cannot be the kingdom of God. Then here, there is no kingdom of God. So here, what Jesus defined here, kingdom of God is in your midst, in center of your heart, clearly. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the kingdom of God. Here, the verse, chapter 3, verse 17, 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. Liberty is freedom, true freedom. We do not be oppressed by own feeling and own emotions from this world, but our own inner peace is come from above, and God is the center of our heart, and so that we have a strong strength, we gain the strength, power enough to forgive others, accept other people, to share our true love of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is the true freedom that we can enjoy ourselves. So kingdom of God in the first sense is within our heart. And also in the church. But remember, church is not a building. This is only accessible public building. Of course, we have the certain manner and this public building as we use it as a church, because we have to respect it. But true church means all those born again people gathered together, and this is a church. Ephesians chapter 2 mentioned about the church here. Chapter 2, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power to us who believe? They are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. And He's explained about the church from verse 15. If you read it, this is a concept and understanding of church. It helps us. And church is the place where the heavenly kingdoms. So heavenly kingdoms, the first heavenly kingdom is accomplished in the Jerusalem, when Jesus ascended and sent us the Holy Spirit, so that this Jerusalem, that 120 there gathered, that becomes the heavenly kingdom. So first church is established. So church, that's why we, because our church understand the church without the Holy Spirit, this cannot be church. That's because church has to come from above. Jerusalem has to come from heaven to down to earth. This is the church. So any organizations without the Holy Spirit, even though there is a Bible, but they do not have a Holy Spirit, then we cannot say that this is a church. Of course, we can, if one of your friends, other denomination, we cannot directly say, you know, you go to this church, that's not a church, then they don't talk to us anymore. So you don't have to say, you should not to say at the beginning. But among us, between you and me, we just know that that cannot be church if there is no Holy Spirit. Simple. Because we have a Bible that clearly tells us how the first church established by the Holy Spirit. Come down from above to let them to receive the Holy Spirit, establish the first churches. So the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, is the beginning of the establishing of our churches. You know, that's a very important point. And also the member, all the part of the church member, the one who have no sin can become a part of the body of Christ. That's a very simple but straightforward concept. Do you think the body of Christ have a sin? The concept of the church is anybody who participate in the church who has a sin. This one cannot be part of the body of Christ. So anybody who do not be baptized, that haven't washed away their sin, they cannot participate in the body of Christ. So that's why our church do not allow anybody who do not be baptized, we refrain from them to take the Holy Communion. Because the Holy Communion is the one holy that we partake the body of Christ. So we do not let them to take it. So that's one of the basic reasons too. That's the side topics. Then the last one is in heaven. In heaven, we have many places, you know that? We have many rooms so we are in the mansions. I like the John chapter 14. Do you have any problem with anybody who, because you don't have enough space? Don't worry. There's a lot of space there. So let's turn to John chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. You know, Jesus promised us He will prepare for us. And His Father's house has so many places to stay. But if this does not belong to us, then it's not much of a big deal. It has to be ours, then it's a big deal. Because when you visit somebody, you know, somebody, and you can use everything. You can use here everything. This use here, this room, this one, whatever, whenever you need it, you can open the refrigerator, you can eat whatever, whenever you're hungry, whatever. If you are a guest, You cannot open the refrigerator anytime you take out the egg from the refrigerator because, you know, the house host say that. You cannot because the host says, you can open the TV, whatever you like to go ahead in our house, just take as your home. We cannot do that, no matter how spacious. Have you ever experienced? Oh yeah, I do. Then, so we know that we have to own it. This is my place. And then you can way as you can, it's a PJ style, you can relax any place, you can walk around any place, whatever you open the refrigerator, you can take it everything, you can just fall down whatever you like to. Then it's your place. Then it's your place. You know, it's, so it is what here, the chapter 14 here, verse 2, this invitation of Jesus is Father's place, is your place. It's not you loan it, it's not you rent it. You don't have to pay it. Remember, you don't have to pay. So, since it's my place, it become my place. It's not timeshare. It's really your place. It's an everlasting place. So, it's really spacious. This is, think of it, we live in this world about 50, 60 years from our age, we think about. We're just something, it's a little space, that's okay. Already we observe, you know, I mean, we can already assign the big space, you know, then we say, thank God, we can open ourselves, wow, we are rich. We need to have a heart. We're always rich. I have everything. I have more than enough room, kingdom of God, because Jesus promised to us. We have 7 minutes. Bear with 7 minutes. Then, heavenly kingdom is near. Let us remember, near. Yeah. It's like a time, like a Noah's time. We know that, right? Noah's time. Let's turn to Mark, because it's substitute one, because I forgot the verse. Chapter 1, verse 15. Truly? It's okay if it's a truth, then I... Oh, 5 minutes. That's warning signs. Okay. This time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at... Repent and believe in the gospel. We read this one. But we know the heavenly kingdom is closer. Many people do not realize that this time is of a second coming. But we have to be aware. The one who know, the wise one, know their way, where, you know, where we are, where we're going, with the situations. Hopefully we are wise and respond to God the right way, prepare ourselves so that we can welcome His second coming. And here the way to we can get joined the kingdom of God, he mentioned the repent and be reborn. I'm sure because you know all this, so don't have to go through a process one by one, and keep the commandment of God. But I want to emphasize number 4 here, keep the commandment of God. 10 commandments is our backbone. Do not remove this ones. This is our priority. No matter what situation in your life, no matter what circumstance you are, keep these 10 commandments. Then you are safe. Then you are secure in the kingdom of God. Many people do not respect these 10 commandments. That's why they walk away from God. I have sinned this kind of cases. In my eyes, I am witness. 10 commandments. We fear God. We respect the 10 commandments. God will save us. God will secure us. And 3 minutes. The John the Baptist, you know, the John the Baptist, the work of the John the Baptist, he prepared way for the Jesus. Actually, preparation job is considered very tough. You know, when in the mountainside to make a road, the preparation job is very heavy. If you are civil engineering, that you know how to make the way in the place, and actually preparation is most toughest job actually. But John the Baptist, he himself is the one acting as a preparations. And something like, you know, king and queen coming, then the one who the first one to ride the horses. I seen the even Korean, the classic kind of a soap opera. Then the one that just one coming very some distance, ride a horse coming to the on the street. The people say, "King coming, King coming!" Everybody kneel down, kneel down. Then there's everybody kneel down, and then later on, King coming, shh, King coming, everybody head down. Then just head down. They cannot look at the king, so they do not know how it looks like their kings. If they head up, then if the people saw, then it's beheaded. So it's better just king. So just a little bit side track, but you know, John the Baptist is the one, you know, one coming because Jesus, the preaching has to be asked people to repent. So when they have a heart of repentance, and then they can listen to the message of Jesus. That's why he come first, and preach to the people, repent, so that you have a heart to listen to the true gospel of salvation. But many people do not listen to him. And we know that when Jesus mentioned that Matthew 11, he is actually the greatest one, because he is the one that John the Baptist is, he made a conclusion of the Old Testament. So he's greater than Elijah and Elisha. He's the greatest one. Jesus mentioned about it. Because we know that he's alive. He actually give up everything. Only just a short period of time. Oh, they finished. And we finished today. Oh, I'll continue tomorrow. Let's pray in silence.